Wow, what an amazing conference. What, off to an amazing start like that. We got a whole afternoon and evening ahead of us, so there we go. Wow. Well, our next speaker is Tara Reid. Tara Reid is an author, a writer. She is the host of the podcast, The Politics of Survival. She's the author of Left Out, When the Truth Doesn't Fit In. She writes op-eds for RT as a contributor. And she's also an actress, and she's here speaking today. She has been unapologetically speaking up about what happened to her at the hands of our Commander-in-Chief, Joe Biden. And she has refused to back down from telling the truth, despite a huge internet smear campaign, relentless attacks on her character. I mean, she was telling me what she's faced, and it is utterly horrendous. I mean, if you look into the details, how viciously they have gone after her and tried to silence her. But in addition to that, she is an anti-imperialist, and she is a critic of social media censorship. So we are nothing but honored to have Tara Reid here with us today. I'm really proud to call her my friend. This is Tara Reid. Ladies and gentlemen.
Chicago! No more raids! No more raids! We stand in solidarity with all the people being oppressed right now, and it's many of us in this room. So you know me as Tara Reid. You knew I came forward about my experience working as a Senate aide for Joe Biden. I was sexually harassed and sexually assaulted by him in 1993. I went through protocol. I reported it. I didn't go to the press at that time. That report is somewhere buried in a sealed file in the University of Delaware, and even though people have tried to get it out, there has been quite a bit of an effort to seal his files. So the files are sealed, and even the Delaware State Supreme Court said it wasn't in the public interest to release them. I say, release the files.
Release the files!
Because it's not just about me. Those files include other people that were harmed. They include his conversations with foreign leaders. They include some of the things that are happening now. And believe me, I think there's some stories in 40 years to tell there. So I think it is in the public interest to release those files. So Chicago is really special to me. And the song that you just heard, I heard that song because it turns out I was born in Monterey, California, but my parents moved to Wisconsin. I lived on a small farm. My father owned a business, and then later they divorced when I was 13. My mother was a political activist. My great-grandmother was a communist. She followed Jack Reed and the philosophies. My mother joined the Progressive Labor Movement and the Committee Against Racism. She fought for racism all her life, against racism all her life. She marched and took me with her as a small child to Skokie, Illinois, when they were the Nazis were being allowed to march on a street that had Holocaust survivors. And this was very traumatizing to the community at that time, obviously, to have the Nazis. Now, a lot of movements came out, including Jesse Jackson, Committee Against Racism nationally, a bunch of solidarity, and there was the Chicago police. My memory as a child is the Chicago police, which to me, now as an adult, looking back, it looks like Darth Vader. That's what they look like. They were in full, and they weren't protecting us. Guess who they were protecting?
The Nazis.
The Nazis, right. My mother exposed me to a different way of thinking. I learned early on about American imperialism. I learned what we were doing in Afghanistan. I learned what we were doing in Vietnam. I learned what we were doing in Iraq and Iran, in Central America and South America, with covert and overt operations oppressing and not respecting sovereign nations, but rather trying to further the military-industrial complex. Eisenhower warned about this years ago. It's been warned many times. And now here we are in 2022, and now they have more sophisticated means, right, with technology to carry out their money laundering, you know, actions. And I want to take you forward to right now. I decided, because when I came forward, I want you to know this, I lost everything. When I came forward about the truth about what Joe Biden did to me, I lost my housing, I lost my job, I lost my reputation, my daughter was threatened, my technology was all hacked, I was threatened with prison. They accused me of lying about my education, which I did not, and threatened me with 25 years in prison for perjury. I had to hire attorneys when I didn't have the money to do so, and I managed to have it looked at, and of course, the DA backed down and never investigated. And all of this was done in a campaign to smear me, and it's being done to other people, and it's not, what they want to do is, what is this, right? With a country, with a movement, with an individual person they don't like. What happened to me was wrong. I was sexually assaulted, sexually harassed, right? But they made it so that people didn't care about it. They tried to vilify me. And what do you think the first thing they said about me was?
Russian agent?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. Isaac Dovere of The Atlantic. That was the first accusation thrown at me, that I was a Russian agent. Well, I assure you, Vladimir Putin was not in the U.S. Senate when I was a U.S. Senate staffer American assaulted by an American U.S. Senator, Joe Biden, now the President of the United States. I assure you, there was no Russians in the U.S. Capitol. So they made the narrative this way, and of course, you know, the summer of 2020 and 2021 was spent with article after hit piece, and different ways to silence me. And the New York Times chose their opportunity right up front to publish my social security number. So I filed a lawsuit, and I said, you can't publish my social security number. That is not in the public interest. Well, guess what? The judge said it was. They said the New York Times had the right. I was making an accusation, which had, you know, whatever I was talking about had nothing to do with them, what they call doxing, right? Putting my social security out there. But what it did do, it gave people the tool to go after every person I knew, every place I worked, every address I ever had. Imagine if you have someone's birth date, social security, my mother's maiden name. They put everything in that first article, right? So there were people literally walking down the streets of my old address, knocking on doors, asking about me, trying to find dirt about me. So I'm using this small platform that I have now to push back. I filed an appeal against the New York Times, and I will win. Because if they think that they can do this to me, they'll do it to you. They'll just do it to you. They'll do it to all of us here. So we have to fight back. And yeah, if they've they put an anti-slap on me, so it might mean, get this, I might have to pay New York Times lawyers' fees, which is going to be over $250,000. But I don't care, because this is bigger than me. And so the reason I want to use my platform is to push back on Russophobia, on xenophobia. China is not our enemy. Russia is not our enemy. Vladimir Putin is not our enemy. But I'll tell you who is. The woman in the pink pantsuit that just cost taxpayers $90 million. That money could have been used to feed our children. That money could have been used to provide housing, to provide health care. But no, It was a two-day trip for someone's ego, a megalomaniac. And believe me, I know who these people are because I was in rooms with them. I heard the way they talk. They're not your friends. They're not interested in any of our needs or wants or miseries. So I want to say to you right now, give up the electoral illusion that there's two parties. All right? We need a third party system. That's right. The Republicans and the Democrats are the same, and the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, and now we've got the media, who has not only been complicit with my sexual assault, that what happened to me, but complicit with the murders of millions of people in Iran, in Iraq, in Syria, in Yemen. Where are their flags? Wave their flags. And now, it is my belief that this war that the U.S. and NATO is fighting, this proxy war against Russia via Ukraine, using Ukrainian as cannon fodder, will turn out to be the biggest money laundering scheme in U.S. history. And it's, the truth is coming. The truth is coming. And this morning, I got off the phone. It was a very emotional conversation with Ava Bartlett. Now, does anyone not know who Ava Bartlett is? She is brave. She is amazing. She is a Canadian reporter with also an American passport that is in Ukraine in the Donbas region reporting truth. She has been put on a Ukraine military hit list. Well, guess what one of the DNC troll bot farms did, Louise Mensch? Guess what she did? She put Ava's location on social media calling for her murder by tagging the Ukraine military. Twitter did nothing, but guess what happened a few days later? And I just got off the phone with Ava. They bombed her hotel that she was staying at. There were journalists there from all over. They survived, but five civilians didn't. And it was the Ukrainian military, it was not the Russians that did this. And one person that died that she told me about, and Ava, you know, she's a seasoned reporter, she said, "Tara, I have seen the Gaza Strip. I have seen horrendous things. I have seen Syria." But she said, "I can't describe what I'm seeing. A little girl whom we'll never know." And I'm going to try to do this without crying because I just saw her picture and I don't want her to be forgotten. But the Western media is, of course, trying to suppress it. Her name is Katya. She was considered a prodigy, a rising star in ballet, a little ballerina. And her ballet teacher happened to be a renowned ballerina herself, now teaching, and her grandmother. They were all bombed. Katya was 2 weeks away from going to St. Petersburg to realize her dream. She had gone to this particular place that Ava said is normally beautiful. It was this beautiful park with a playground for children. And Ukraine targeted it along with that hotel. And she's gone. She was blown to bits. And I heard the emotion in Ava's voice, and I want you to be there with me. I want you to say, "Katya, we hear you. Katya, we won't forget you. Katya, we won't forget you. We won't forget you. Katya, we won't forget you. We won't forget you." Please, don't forget her. And all the children that are being affected, and all the people that are being, think about the millions of dreams that are being dashed because the U.S. and NATO decided to fight this proxy war with Russia and push five times, not once, those lines, those borders up against the Russian borders. And now they're antagonizing China with the woman in the pink pantsuit. So there's a lot of work to do. And I want to say a few words about the media. I have always supported investigative reporting. I believe in Julian Assange should be free. Free Julian Assange! Free
Julian Assange. Free Assange. Free Assange. Free Assange. Free Assange. Free Assange.
And you'll notice you're not seeing anything about Julian Assange, who exposed the war crimes of the West in the corporate media. They won't even say his name. And he's being extradited here. He's an Australian citizen being extradited under the Espionage Act for publishing war crimes. Julian Assange is a hero, so is Edward Snowden, so is Daniel Hale. All of them. Now, I don't put myself in the same category as a whistleblower. I talked about a personal situation. I pushed back. And again, but I do want to say that I support investigative journalists' right to tell the truth. I do not support the stenographers of the State Department. Get the CIA off CNN. Get the U.S. State Department off the New York Times and out of Daily Beast and Politico and stop the nonsense. They are now complicit with millions of deaths. And you know what they said when they misreported things about Ukraine? They said, well, it was to lift morale. Do you feel lifted?
No.
45% of U.S. families can't afford to put food on their table. 45% right now. We have the highest inflation in 41 years. Over 500,000 people are without homes, and you're going to spend $90 million on a woman in a pantsuit so she can go to Taiwan and provoke China. And by the way, she was there for the semiconductors, that technology, right? But China just put a restriction on sand, so there goes that. So that was for nothing. I can think of so many ways to spend $90 million, can you? The media has to stop being complicit, and they're also, what they're doing is deplatforming, demonetizing, and threatening with jail. For instance, Alina Lip is another reporter I want to mention who is on the ground in Donbass right now, reporting the truth. Her government, she grew up in Germany, she was educated in Germany, and she shared with me directly, her bank account was frozen, her father's bank account was frozen, and if she goes back to Germany, she's facing 3 years in prison, and do you know why? Because she told the truth. The Ukrainian people in the Donbas region were glad to see the Russian soldiers. Very clearly, because a lot of social media trolls come on, they call me, and one day they call me a communist and a Republican, which, okay. pick one and we'll have a discussion. Meanwhile, I had been a Democrat. I'm no longer a Democrat. I don't know if the Democratic Party has noticed that I left, right? I left. I stand with Russia. I stand with China. I stand with Palestine. I stand with Syria. I stand with Venezuela. I stand with people. I stand with the Uhuru movement. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. Let's begin.
We have here, before you go down, before you sit down, I want to present to you the International Solidarity and Truth Award. This is the Center for Political Innovations Award that we are giving to Tara Reid for actions in defense of international truth and solidarity in the pursuit of peace and justice. So this is for you.
We believe Tara! 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 We believe Tara!
Thank you so much. I feel a warmth of and connection with community, and it reminds me of when I was a child with my mom with the Progressive Labor Party and the Committee Against Racism. I love the unity, and I am with you. I wanted to dedicate this to the Uhuru movement. I want to dedicate this to them. I want to dedicate this to the investigative reporters right now in Donbass that are facing Patrick Lancaster, Ava Bartlett, right? Alina Lipp, Wyatt Reed. They are putting their lives and their livelihoods on the line to tell the truth. So while I'm here safe in this building with you, right now they're running from bombs and trying to get us the truth, and we've got to keep lifting them up. So thank you, and solidarity.